my praise.
That is really cool. What's your praise, though?
My in-laws came. We thought he was going to have some issues, but everything went well.
Everything went well.
Right. Hey, in-laws.
We took, we took them to all-you-can-eat place, the buffet.
Uh-oh.
Somebody coming from Africa.
No,
you tell to buffet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
And
you know what that means?
What does it
mean? That means when they take the chicken off the buffet, they actually leave the bones and go get more chicken.
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Right.
Because in Africa, when you eat chicken, you're not finished when you're down to the bone.
No, you eat the bone.
You eat swallow.
Yeah. Oh, because that's where the nutrients
is. The drumstick?
No.
The drum, all right, here you go. Drumstick. Okay. There's a knuckle joint on one end and another joint on the other end. There's a lot of nutrition in those. But Africans are gifted with an awesome set of teeth. I mean, they got chompers that will get the job done. It's normal to do that.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked when I saw that for the first time as I was touring Nigeria a few years ago. And doggone, if they do not waste much of anything. They're kind of like the American Indians. They use it all, you know, back in the old days.
The marrow. In the bone.
The marrow and the bone.
That is the nutrient. That is the stem cell.
Yeah.
So why leave the marrow in the bone? The flesh is nothing. It's the marrow that...
You heard it from the source. You know, this is like Ripley's Believe It or Not in here sometimes.
Anyhow, to get to the marrow.
Amen. All right, other praises. Nona and then Karen.
Thursday night is like 10:45. I'm going to bed. I kneel down to do my bedtime prayer, and my doorbell rings. Now, during the day, if I'm not expecting somebody, I don't go to the door. But here it is, 10:45, and some says something's wrong. Something is wrong. So I get up, and I go to the door. It's my neighbor across the street. I left my garage door open. He knows I leave my garage door closed all the time. My car goes in, the garage door goes down. But I had taken out the trash and left the garage door open. So I just thank God for good neighbors that look out after me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it never came to mind not to go to the door. It just says something is wrong, something is wrong. And I get up and I go to the door.
Well, there you go. Amen. Cool.
Yeah.
That's praise. Who else? Praises. Karen had a praise.
Jan and I went out to eat the 4th of July. After we had that, I can never close it. I do now. We're in Walmart, and all I bought was some apple cider vinegar. But I had to take my wallet out to pay for it. And I can't tell you from there, but I didn't go anywhere the next day because I'm looking for my wallet, and I have no wallet, no driver's license. On my credit card, and two are worth $30,000. I'm panicking. She calls me, I can't talk to you right now. I'm looking for my wallet. She came over, she looked, she couldn't find it. And we backtracked where we could be in. And she says, let's go to Walmart. And I said, you know what? Nobody's going to turn that in. Not today. In today's society. It did. Every penny that I had with cash, which was maybe $15, was left in it, and my credit card was taken. I cried. I at customer service, and I was just weeping.
Oh, amen.
Anybody that turned that in, I would love to shake their hand, thank them, pray for them.
Give them $100.
Yeah.
Yes, give them money. that I'm 60.
Anybody here turn that in for you? Got three of them that turned it in for you.
Yeah, right. And I was so panicking.
Well, that is a wonderful praise. Amen.
Yes.
It is.
Well, she told me, she said, hey, no one's going to ask me. There are good people in this world.
Oh,
here.
Yes.
We're going to Walmart. I told you, we need to go to Walmart. Get in the car, we're going to Walmart. And I prayed all the way out there.
But, you know, there are good people, and they're not all here. Most of them, yeah, but they're not all here. There's a few left out there somewhere. But it's cool. Who else has praise? Oh, there's two of them back there. Joshua, you were a little bit ahead, about that much ahead of us. Go ahead.
Lane started swimming again. He was petrified in the water for whatever reason. I don't know why. Like, he just wouldn't go in the water at all.
Yeah.
And this weekend, he got in the pool. Of course, it wasn't with me, it was with someone else, but he trusted them, wouldn't let me touch him, but he trusted them. After that, he was out in the water.
That's it. He just had to work his way into it. Karen, what's your praise?
I was able to go out last night with some friends, and I had a good time, good food, good fellowship.
Now, Karen, I did not say that if you'd come to the picnic on the 4th, you probably wouldn't have lost your wallet at Walmart. But anyway, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to let that go. We'll just let that slide. And I won't tell you. I should have told you. But anyway, who else has a praise?
So funny. The guy at Walmart says, aren't you okay when we're walking out? And I'm wiping the tears.
Yeah. Tyler?
My prayer is that y'all have some troubleshooting abilities.
Amen.
Yeah, I think we both know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Clarissa.
We had a great time visiting with James's family, and just a great time of fellowship and seeing his grandparents who are 90. His grandpa was 95 years old.
And you made it back safe.
And made it back safe.
And James got a good start on his beard, eating the mustache he's growing.
Come Monday.
Oh, come on now. Come on. You have to take it off for work because of the mask issues?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, that is the reason.
He makes rules, too.
You made up the rule?
Yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah, that'll make you popular. Yeah, I worked in the plants real shortly. I was an outside contractor building some desks and countertops and stuff. And I had to shave to be able to wear the safety mask if I had to. Phosgene. If you smell ozone or fresh cut grass, you're about to die. So, you know, get your mask on. Anybody else? Yes, Mary.
It's like about a prayer. You know, we're talking about prayer earlier. A lady told me one day, she said, Mary, I'm in trouble. I said, what happened? She said, my husband went off to Mexico and I guess he lost his ticket or whatever to come back. I have no money to come back. So I said to her, aren't you a Christian? She said, yeah. That's okay. Pray and ask God to help him, you know, to come back home. Then somebody will give him some money. And she said, I'll tell you what, I'll pray for you. So we were standing outside, so I prayed for her. And a simple prayer, guys. God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to give this woman's husband some money to come back home. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. She said, well, I don't know. I said, shut up. You should hear me, Pastor. She would jump. So I said, shut up. Want to stop the angels from doing their job? Man, she couldn't wait to tell me the next day what happened. Somebody, he doesn't know, came up to him and gave him the money. The amount of money to buy the
ticket.
We're talking about prayer. When you pray, say thank God.
When you pray, exactly, say exactly what we're talking about. If it's something that you're sure that's in God's will, or even that it's not out of God's will, you know. So you need to expect God to do something. I mean, he loves doing that stuff.
He loves us.
He does. There's no good reason for it, you understand, but he's God. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't need a good reason to love you.
Yep.
I ought to preach a sermon on that. God does not require a good reason to love you. Because you have spent most of your life not giving him one.
Right.
Anyway. Well, let's go to the Word. What do you say? Yeah, that's not fair. Amen. All right. I miss a praise? I really don't want to miss anybody's praises. That's the part Jesus gets. Yes, Tracy, go ahead.
I just praise God for allowing us to have a great family trip with good connection. We had no beautiful weather, fun times reconnecting with cousins and family and exploring Arkansas, seeing old friends in Missouri.
Amen.
Visiting with family in Oklahoma and Arkansas. So we just had a great trip. And I just praise God for allowing that to happen.
Amen. All my friends in Missouri would definitely be old by now. I probably do have stump cell thing. Okay. Proverbs. We are still in chapter 12, working our way toward chapter 13. But there's some really interesting stuff here that we've worked our way down to. And let me ask you, first of all, can you point to any positive changes in your life that Proverbs has brought you? Things that you do a little differently because of what you've learned from these amazing go out and do it tomorrow scriptures? Yeah, Joshua?
Yeah, I've changed the way I look at a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Personal things that have changed, just thinking about them.
Yeah, amen. I hope that all of these things are making a difference for you, because I guarantee you the difference will be tremendous once it's applied. The changes will be very welcomed, I will assure you. Verse 13 is where we got to. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. You know what this scripture reminds me of? It reminds me of police interrogation. I don't know if anybody's ever been a suspect in an altercation of some kind, of crime or whatever. But the police are trained to ask questions that snare the wicked in their words. And if you know how to do it, and I mean, it's a science, it really is, and you'll see it on TV sometimes and that sort of thing, and I'm sure some of what you see on TV is real and accurate, but if you've done something wicked and you're called to the carpet for it, people who know how to ask questions and the right questions are probably going to learn the truth of the matter, because the wicked are snared by the transgression. What's a transgression of lips? What's that called? It's a real short word.
Lie.
Lies. It's, how can you tell when the politicians are lying? That's when, no, that you can tell, that's when their lips move. When their lips move, that's how you tell. Never mind. It went right over your head. I'll just let it go. Yeah, but the just shall come out of trouble. If you're telling the truth, it can look like something it's not, but sooner or later it's going to come out for what it is. The just shall come out of trouble. Now, we're going to get to one here in a little bit that's going to be real hard to understand. So, anyway, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. A man shall be satisfied with good. What is that? What's that mean? Being satisfied with good. Go ahead, Francis. I hear the wheels turning.
I wanted to bring us back to the truth thing.
The other one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Truth, the book of Proverbs says the righteous are bold as a lion.
Yeah.
But the wicked flees when no man pursues. And it does happen.
Yeah, well, yeah.
When you ask him questions, and if this person is guilty.
There are no sinless people in here. Okay? That's pretty much a given. I don't really have to wonder which of us are sinners and which of us are not, because it's kind of already decided and figured out. But that means we've all done stuff that we shouldn't have done, and we all done stuff that we know we were doing wrong when we did it. And somebody may have done that yesterday, I don't know, but do you remember what that's like? You said it was this way, but it's not. You're constantly doing what after that?
Back crawling.
Carl Rittenhouse.
You what?
Back crawling.
Yeah, you're looking over your shoulder. You're waiting for the shoe to drop. Yeah, oh, that's really. How many lies does it take to cover up lies? It never ends. Never ends. Boy, the truth is. Yeah, and then you forget. What did I say? The truth you can remember, because it's the truth. I'll guarantee you we're learning some things here. If you've never figured out that you're going to get ahead by telling the truth and be honest, you better figure it out in these Proverbs, because it's going to come around and bite you. And you will not like the place where it bites you. It's going to hit you hard. You know where it's going to bite you most often? And don't say behind, okay? Unless you carry your wallet in your back pocket. It goes very often it's going to come around and bite you right in the wallet.
You know, you talk about telling the truth. There's a customer that called me and they want to do a waterfall. And, you know, YouTube and stuff like that. I've been wanting to get into doing waterfalls and such. And instead of lying and just saying, oh, yeah, I've done them before, I know how to do them, I told her, I've never done one. I've always wanted to do one. So I haven't got the job yet, but she told me, well, come out. I'd love you to come out and give me an estimate and see what you can do. So I went out the other day to give her an estimate. She seemed excited about getting me out there. Of course, it doesn't mean I got the job, but the fact that I told her the truth, I've never done one, and she still said, come on out anyway.
Remember that, what he just said, but when we get down here, three or four verses down here, I want to talk about that type of situation. And it might surprise you what the Lord will teach you on this. Don't let me forget. My forgetter really been working overtime this morning. All right, good man satisfied with good. What is that talking about? A man should be satisfied with good.
Being content that you're doing the right thing. And
all right, well, contentment, fill up your refrigerator and your pantry.
No.
But contentment's part of it. That's some of the good, but we're talking about what you need. We're talking about clothes on your back and food in your fridge and a roof over your head and all kind of stuff. Everything good that you can think of that you need in life, a man shall be satisfied with good by what? By the fruit of his mouth, by what you say. What's James say about what we say? The tongue is like the most dangerous member of your body. I mean, it's
desperately wicked.
Well, that's the heart, desperately wicked. But what you say determines where everything's going. If you stand up and say, men, no more beards on the plant. We're changing the rules. And you may not be the most popular guy until they have a chemical leak and everybody makes it out alive. But, you know. Yeah, somebody will, you know. There'll be one, like that last guy out, he said, boy, I'm glad I didn't wear that beard. I'd be dying right now. Anyway, by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. When you work hard, what if you contract a job, Joshua, and they decide they don't want to pay you?
Hopefully you had a contract with them.
I did a job for a lawyer one time.
Only one.
And normally I've been pretty known for selecting my customers and choosing them very well and not just necessarily doing everything for everybody. But work was short and I needed the money. And I told Lisa after I talked to this guy, I said, maybe it's just the Lord talking to me, I don't know, but I know this guy's not going to pay me.
Uh-oh.
And so my normal terms in those days was 60-40-10. 60% down, 40% upon substantial completion, and the finals 10%. And I told Lisa, oh, yeah, I've been doing that for years, Randy. It works just great. All you have to do is ask for it. 60-40-10. That's the way I've done it for 25, 30 years.
How about
60-30-10%? No. 60-30.
Yeah.
Maybe that other one works better, actually.
You're real good at that.
But it always come out better. No wonder I always make money on this.
If you need some accounting help, let me know.
Yeah, I probably will. But anyway, and we did the job. You're right in the middle of the job, and everything's torn up at the time for the second payment. So, you know, he's not going to kick you off the job then, not if you're doing good work, and we always do good work. So he paid the 30. I told Lisa, she could vouch for it. I said, I know this guy's not going to pay me. It didn't affect our work, so we did it work. But when I wrote the contract, I added 10% extra to the contract. I could always give him a discount later, but I know this guy's not going to pay me. And sure enough, when I brought him the bill, after we'd finished, a beautiful job, it was all done, he said, I'm not going to pay this. And I said, what's wrong? He said, well, there's really nothing wrong. He said, but I'm a lawyer, and I don't have to, and I'm not going to pay it. You can sue me if you want to.
Oh, wow.
Well, the Lord Lord does things for you if you know him. And I said, if that's the way you want to do it, and so I packed up my tools and went home. Smiled all the way home.
Sucker.
Well, what if I hadn't added the 10%? Do you think the Lord would have... Who do we get paid by? Luke 6:38 was one of the first scriptures as a Christian that I learned, and learned to live by it. What is it? Give and it shall be what? Given unto you.
Pressed down.
Shaking together. And running over. And then the next word's critical. The next word's crucial. Shake down, running over, and press down, running over, shall... Men given to your bosom. Isn't that strange? You got a promise from the Lord that's going to be kept and answered by men. Now that's significant, isn't it? Shall men given to your bosom. And sure enough, I used to have it printed on the bottom of my stationery. Luke 6:38. Just had it down there. People sometimes ask, but not very often. And sometimes when Lisa and I go to the movies, which we don't do as much anymore, but when we go, it's not for the movie, it's for, she loves movie popcorn. She loves movie popcorn. And it's real expensive. So when we first got together, I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be a high maintenance girl here with this movie popcorn. But fortunately, it was just the movie popcorn. But she'll go up and she'll add, we'll ask for the person at the counter for a Luke 6:38 popcorn. I still haven't found one that knew what that was yet. But they look at you like, huh? Luke 6:38 popcorn. I said, don't you know what the Bible says in Luke 6:38?
Let me go look it up.
No. It says, it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I want a Luke 6:38 popcorn.
So how many people have you led to the Lord through popcorn?
None yet, but there's always that opportunity that may come. Not yet, but ask next time you go to the movie. Will you do it? Next time you go to the movie, ask for a Luke 6:38 popcorn. And see if you've gotten someone that has served me popcorn before. And if not, well, they'll remember you, I think. But so, if somebody doesn't pay you, will the recompense of a man's hand, the Bible says it's good for a man to work with his hands, doesn't mean you're not working with your hands if you do accounting. Even accountants work with their hands. You do have to type, I mean, you know. Now, running that little adding machine while you're looking the other way, I still don't know how y'all do that, but I can type, but that's it. But is the Lord going to take care of that for you? He is. The recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered to him. Now, does that only work one way, or does that work two ways? Now, think about that for a minute. What if you do shoddy work and let it go and don't fix it? You may get paid full price. And the Lord may have to take it some other way. This kind of goes along with a principle about tithing. Can you tell me a principle about tithing that fits this situation that we're reading about right here?
Give the Lord his
his 10% and see if he does his other 90?
Well, that's sort of.
But
there we go. Tell them, Clarissa.
Well, everybody in the church tithes, whether or not you do it willingly or God has to take it.
Everybody in my church tithes. Yes, you do. You either bring it and honor God with it, or he comes and takes it. It's true. Oh, it is so true. We had a fellow one time that knowingly skipped on his tithing when a pretty major payment come in. I forget exactly what happened right after that, but his expense that he shouldn't have had to deal with came out exactly to the tithe that he kept. And he never forgot it. Thankfully, he never forgot it because it was a good lesson. You're going to tithe. You can either do it willingly and gladly and enjoy the blessing of it, or God will just come and take it until you figure it out that you're going to do what he told you to do. Joshua.
You know, on that same note, there's a farmer back home. And every farmer out there has brand new tires on the tractor getting popped left and right. You run through the field, you run over a piece of iron, pop the tire. This old boy is a deacon at the local church, and I'm sure he tithes or whatever. He ran up down the road with the grain buggy for 10 years, had rubber slinging off the back of it. I mean, just, I have metal showing everything. For 10 years, he ran up down the road with them tires. Never popped a single tire. Not one. So he finally decided to change it.
And I will rebuke the devourer for you. That's true about that. It's amazing. And you should not be ever surprised about God keeping his word. But his word works two ways. It doesn't just go one direction. You know, the love, 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 blessing, blessing, blessing. Yeah, until you start disobeying God and have to go to the woodshed. But that's going to come. Randy.
About 3 or 4 months ago, about half a year ago, I needed my safety glasses and the lens were real scratched. And I went exactly 100% honest with them. I got some free lenses. So I went and picked them up, and I had to inspect my wife's car. Lo and behold, there's a screw in the sidewall that was within $5 of what the lens would have cost me to what the tire cost. I said, okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Oh, it is.
When they said, you got a screw in your sidewall, I knew exactly.
And how did you know?
Exactly.
The Spirit of the Lord is amazing. Yeah, God had to correct his child, but that is proof of something. That's proof of love. That is a tremendous example.
I was wrong and I knew it.
Proof of love.
I just didn't want to spend the $200 on the lenses.
Yeah, well.
I spent $200
on the tire. And then the Lord said, you know I'd have taken care of that $200 for those glasses for you. You do understand that, right? And I am thankful. Here's my praise for the day. I praise the Lord for the privilege to get to share this stuff with you. Because not only do you get it, and you get to prosper, and you get to grow, and you get to change and become who you've never been, but I get refreshed, and I get to... The Lord is doing for me all the same things he's doing for you, and I just want to praise the Lord for that today. It's just a good. And I really need to do that before we get to verse number 15. Because if this one applies, we're really going to start getting grumpy about it, okay? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Let me just put it in the form of a question. Is this common or not?
Yes. Definitely common.
Oh, man. What are some of the symptoms of a person that's a fool who's everything's right in his own eyes?
Husband.
What? What did you say?
Husband.
Well, okay.
The main one is he doesn't believe in there's a God.
Say it now, Mary.
The fool does not believe there's a God.
The fool says there is no God. Well, that's one type of a fool. There's a lot of ways to be a fool besides that one, as you'll see here. Michael.
Actually, in my line of work, I run into this all the time, especially with people that want to start their own business and things like that. everybody thinks they understand and they know accounting and taxes and things like that. And then after a year or two, they always come crying while they're getting the letters from the IRS and the state because they use their tax money to finance their business. And so they thought that was the way to do it because a lot of people do it that way. But the smart people, they get their accountants and their attorneys and everybody on board before they even open their business. I'm just saying in my experience.
I'm just thinking of that and by when I started, but I wasn't in that group. I had to learn it. The kind of Lord taught me. The truth of the matter is, when I went into business, I was pastoring in northern Colorado where there was no hands-on work to do and get paid, and we were starving up there. But when the Lord moved me to Texas to start a new work down here, there was a time came that I had to start back in business again in order to function, to survive. And the number one thing that I used to start my business, I didn't really talk to a lot of accounting people, although I did some, but the number one thing that I used and was Proverbs. Because I have been through this book a couple times by then. And I did seek some wise counsel. I tell you what I learned to do. I learned to go to people that were making it and make friends there and get my advice from those that were succeeding. The tendency is not that. The tendency is to talk to your friends, whether they're succeeding or not. And in most cases, they're not. Or at least it's what you're trying to do. But if you're going to do business, you want to definitely seek the kind of counsel that really qualifies as white counsel. But the fool is right in his own eyes is one of the symptoms of that is you can't tell them anything.
It's like witnessing to the
Jehovah's. Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah. It's like they're trained to shut you out. You younger folks, let's see, Tyler and who qualifies? Tashana, Joshua and Christine, Matt definitely qualifies. With me, most of y'all qualify now that I think about it. All you youngsters, when you get counsel from somebody that whose hair is white or gone, whichever, you know, you probably ought to really take it to heart. If you know they love you, if they know that they care, you're probably going to get some good advice. And it almost always won't agree with what you thought was the way to do it. Because what's in your own eyes in your youth is going to change. It's like that guy that's dad was really a dummy when he was 19, and it was amazing how much he learned by the time he was 25. Dad got smarter somehow. I don't know what happened to him, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And of course, the other Proverbs tell us that not just any counsel. The implication there by the last word is that it would have to be wise counsel. Wise counsel. When's the last time you can think of, you don't need to say what it was, but when's the last time you can think of that you got yourself some wise counsel?
Last week.
Last week?
Today.
If you can't think of the last time you got some wise counsel on something, you're probably vacillating between these two people talked about in this verse. I'm serious about this now. Think about it. Francis.
I got wise counsel this morning when I knelt down and prayed.
Amen. But you understand now, we're not really talking about prayer here. We're talking about counseling with people about decisions that you have to make that you're faced with about which way to go. Most of the time, you know which way not to go. Very often, but not necessarily which way I should go. And so if you find yourself that you really can't bring to mind an incident or an occasion that you sought wise counsel, you're probably tending to revert back to the right in your own eyes part. Because everybody in here is, you got wisdom seeking wise counsel over here, and you got a fool thinking everything's right in his own eyes over here. Every one of us are somewhere on that line between the two. Can we agree to that, see that? Can we understand that? Let's get way over here to the right, to the wise counsel side. But it's kind of a good test. It's the last time you sought some good advice to make sure. You may pretty well know what to do, but you might not be sure on a couple of details or something to help. And where should you go for your wise counsel?
James chapter 1.
James, okay. James is a good source of wise counsel.
Chapter 1.
It says, if anybody needs wisdom, let him ask of God.
Okay. All right. Wisdom needs wisdom, ask of God. But who does the Lord keep telling us to go to when we ask him?
Elders, pastors, leaders, people that are successful. It depends on what it's for.
Yeah, depends on what it's for, but who is successful in that? Who is getting the job done? If you're talking about what to do with your wild teenager, talk to somebody who's got a tame teenager. if you can find one.
Let me know who.
Yeah, let me know who. But the greatest resource that you and I have are the folks that are sitting in this classroom and other real believers that are doing what they're doing successfully in life. It's the greatest resource we've got. People in here are this is where you're going to find people that actually love you. Yeah. And actually make a difference and actually care whether you succeed or don't. More so, I'm not saying everybody's going to, because we're all sinners and we're all selfish and we all got our own issues and you know how we are, because you are who you are. But the best source you're going to find, quick, if you need one, is right here in the body of Christ, in our church. Because you're going to find people here that care, that really do. And I'm going to be one of them, and for every one of you. And sometimes the counsel I'll give you, you won't like. Have I ever given you counsel that you didn't really like? Look at you lying like that in church. Refuse to raise your hand. Okay, all right, we got a couple.
I wanted to talk to you about my marriage. You kept talking to me about the Bible. I was like, that has nothing to do with what's going on between me and him. That was in my early days.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. Well, I have to give God some credit for your home. You guys have grown up to be examples of the believers in this church. And we're very proud of you. And people ask her if she's my daughter. And she tells them yes. So so I think that's pretty cool, too. A fool's wrath is presently known. I want to deal with the first half of that. A fool's wrath is presently known. What, and some of you are going to know this real well, what is that specifically talking about? Huh?
Short temper.
It's talking about anger issues. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and embarrass yourself, because there'd be a whole lot more hands up, should be coming up over this than we'd want to even want to be known. Somebody said, well, Pastor, have you ever had anger issues? That's none of your business, sorry.
Somebody still says Churchill went to buy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Academy was
yeah.
Probably stealing your shirts before
I
went to buy.
Yeah, you. Boy, I shouldn't share some of this stuff with y'all. You don't forget.
I recall you getting hit in the head with a paintbrush.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, the Bible says that, what's it say about wrath? Get over it quick or something. It doesn't say, be angry and sin not. Yeah, I knew there's a verse that's going to get me out of this somewhere. But we are prone to it, people. We are prone to it and to the consequences of it. How many, I'm going to go ahead and ask this. How many of you men, I don't think any of the ladies would be guilty of this, but I'll include you too. How many have you ever had to replace a window or a piece of sheetrock or a windshield because of anger issues? Look around. There's some honest people in here.
How about all of them?
All of the above. Yeah. I'm telling you what, it's better to hit the sheetrock than it is the wife or the child. But so I'm not admitting to anything in front of you people anymore. But how do you suppose I knew to mention those particular things? I read it in a book, right? A fool's wrath is presently known. Let's leave the vocation of fool somewhere in our past. Every one of us have been a fool at some time. I will guarantee you, there's not an exception in here. There's no exceptions to this. But it needs to be behind us. It really does. So this is why the Lord has got you coming here, studying a proverb, learning how to not be a fool anymore. Say, so what are you learning in Sunday school? How to not be a fool anymore. And it's wonderful to do. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel, that's the one. But a prudent man covereth shame. I looked up prudent, just so I'd know. That word means cunning. And it is usually used in a negative or bad sense. That surprised me. I thought prudent meant he was wise and he was smart and he did it the right way and he did it. But it is complimentary from the Lord. You know, Jacob was a subtle man. Remember Jacob?
Yeah.
He was the sly dog.
Supplanter.
The supplanter. That's what his name means. And we're told this by the Lord. But let me ask you, did the Lord condemn him for it?
No.
No, he didn't. He actually commended the guy.
That's right.
What about the guy it just came to me. The guy in Scripture that got put out of his stewardship.
Oh, yeah. The wise servant.
And when he saw, you know, usually when you got something like this coming, you can see the writing on the wall, you know. You can see it coming. What did this guy do? He went to the customers. He was the accountant. He was Michael. He was the accountant. And said, you 100 bushels? Here, I'm discounting it to 50. There's your bill. And he did that with the customers. And then when he got put out of his stewardship, he had other people that he had given a deal to that he could go to and get a job.
That's right.
And the master commended him. Yeah, he gave away half of his bushels of whatever he was owed, but the master commended him for being wise enough to look out for what was coming down the road. That's kind of what this prudent aspect is looking at here in the Scripture. That's how this word is being used. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man learns to keep his mouth shut until the heat dies down to where he can cover up the shame that would have come otherwise. He's still angry. He still doesn't like it. He's just not going to throw his fist through the windshield or the sheetrock or yell and scream and holler and make a fool out of himself openly. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This says acting with or showing care and thought for the future.
Right. Cunning is more towards deceit. Prudency is not. It's like she just said.
I just looked up cunning after what you said. And it says, achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion.
Yeah.
So, by evasion, you're doing what you said, putting it aside until later.
Well, you're looking at English, okay? I'm looking at Hebrew, because that's the word. This was their best shot at translating it. Because this wasn't written in English, and we've got sometimes you cannot get a really good word-for-word translation. Let me give it to you in Hebrew. Prudent. Now, this word's used twice in this chapter, both times. It means crafty, prudent, or subtle. It means cunning, usually in a bad sense. This is exactly the picture of Jacob in the Old Testament, as he's described. Subtle, shrewd, crafty, sly, sensible, shrewd, sensible, prudent. These are the synonyms that are given here. Arum is the Hebrew word, arum. It's a little different than Webster is going to give us under the word prudent. There's a little more to it. Remind me to start with prudent next week. Okay, we'll review that, because there's going to be a situation there.